Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Weeds are a problem. And even in our studio right now, weeds are kind of a huge problem, as a matter of fact. They grow, they spread fast, and this was what might surprise you. They've invaded maybe about 10% of our Big Sky country. Noxious weeds, they cost you money. They do. Wildlife don't like them. Agriculture, nope, don't need them. They're invasive, okay? So, do you know what they look like? Do you know how to fight them? We're gonna do that today. Got a good program lined up. Megan Hoyer's in studio here, Montana's invasive species education coordinator. We're gonna get an education today. Got a whole list of folks we'll talk to around the state as well. It's time to fight weeds, people. Kellyanne Fillingham's gonna join us a bit later on. Ravalli County Weed District Coordinator Jasmine Chaffee. She's with the Montana Department of Agriculture as well. The state weed coordinator, noxious weed program coordinator, and then we have Sarah Berger, weed coordinator in Fallon County for our friends in Baker, Montana as well, on KFLN and all in Eastern Montana. And in studio, wearing weeds and carrying this big rope that I guess represents roots and decked out in a jacket that says Fight Weeds, EDRR. We'll talk about it. Is Megan Hoyer, Department of Ag Invasive Species Education Coordinator. Megan, you look beautiful.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks for having us here today to celebrate Noxious Weed Awareness Week. I couldn't be happier to be here.
Oh, thank you. She's wearing a hat. It's a big green hat. She has to tie it on because it represents, I suppose, there's a weed on top of that hat, I guess, right? I'm supposed to guess what that weed is? Okay, we'll get to that later on, okay? You might have to give me some hints, right? And then you put them on your glasses. It's really cool. It's super cool. Is this like every day you go around like this?
As much as I possibly can.
Yeah. And why? What you got a nice white jacket on. It's got some various logos as well and the big EDRR. You're grabbing attention with this.
Yeah, I'm going to be really hard to forget. Not only have I taken over your office with my space, but this long, extensive root system. This plant's got a 30-foot root system. These little tape pieces on represent nodes. Those nodes can produce new plants. These little flowers, they look like they're petals, but they're not. They're bracts. And these bracts can shoot their seeds 15 feet.
Really?
I wore this costume because I wanted to create awareness. It's Noxious Weed Awareness Week. Our weed of the day is Rush Skeleton. I don't have a Rush Skeleton costume yet. So I thought, I'm going to put that Leafy Spurge costume to use. Whoops, I slipped on your answer.
I got it now,
you
right?
Got it now. Yeah. You guys had to get me talking.
Yeah.
Leafy Spurge has been a noxious weed declared in Montana since 1975.
Right.
That's 50 years. 50 years have gone by that this plant has traveled naturally in our wind, water, attached themselves to animals, and also on humans. We've really given it the upper edge. Deciding not to deal with weeds and ignoring weeds simply isn't going to work because they're catching a ride on us and they're spreading rapidly. So I wanted to create the awareness because Leafy Spurge, like I said, it's been on our list for 50 years. But I must say, in those 50 years, we have learned so much. Today's theme for Noxious Weed Awareness Week is early detection, rapid response. Could you imagine if somebody took seriously 50 years ago when that first leafy spurge fell off the truck or came in the alfalfa seed and we got on it? And that's why it's important today to talk about weeds like Rush Skeleton and new invaders to Montana so we can be on the lookout and we can be aware so that we don't have more plants like leafy spurge, because I think leafy spurge is so abundant now in Montana that it's forever going to be here. We're ever going to continue to fight it. We're going to be paying for it. It's going to continue to disrupt many of our Montana ecosystems. not only does it consume all those natural resources, but if you break this plant open, there's a milky white sap that comes out. If you get it on your skin, you're going to have a reaction. If you get it in your eye, you might go blind. So today's focus is early detection and rapid response, and I wore leafy spurge to create awareness, and I hope you can never forget this face.
I don't think we can. We'll put some photos up as well. It does make that point, too. And I love what you say. You know, it's been here 50 years. Maybe a lot of us, I guess if you work in agriculure or if you have, if you're a landowner, whether it's an acre or a couple of acres, you're dealing with this. It just seems like, we might accept it. Oh, these are just weeds. We can't get rid of it. That is something that, yeah, you're shaking your head. The seeds are falling all over when you do that. Why do we tolerate weeds?
I just think there's not enough awareness, and I love to see what the state of Montana is doing by promoting this awareness, providing education. The Department of Ag alone, we've got an early detection, rapid response program with weeds that are on our borders. We've got strike teams going out so that they don't trickle across their states. But I think the overall purpose of Noxious Weed Awareness Week and why we're celebrating today is it's not just farmers and ranchers' problems. It's everywhere. In our parks, when I go out and recreate, it's not fun walking through thickets and brush. I like to be able to pass by. These species take over. They limit biodiversity. I like to go out and see lots of things. So creating that awareness so that it's everybody's deal. And I think we're getting better at it. I think we're learning stewardship practices. You know, we've got campaigns like Play Clean Go and Clean Drain Dry because these invasives aren't just plants. They're everything. And it's not just on land. They're on water, too. So I think these little catchphrases and the more we can make these fun, memorable experiences, as well as, which I'm glad my partners are going to be here this later in the show, to talk about some of those integrated weed management tools, to start sharing that not one thing is going to be a solution and becoming educated in multiple modes of action to treat your specific area. So that's kind of where we're at, and that's where the education is pushed. And I really am proud of Montana for taking these steps and, you know, pushing the awareness.
Let's find out what your partners are wearing today, by the way.
Sounds good, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll say hello, Kellyanne Fillingham. Kellyanne, welcome back to the program. We're Valley County Weed District Coordinator. How you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us on today. Just exactly like was what we've been talking about this morning. Education and getting this information out there is fantastic. I do not have a costume on today. If I was in studio, though, I'd be right there with Megan.
I bet.
It's so important to educate people. And like she said, weeds affect everyone. If you walk, bike, hike, hunt, fish, even when you're watching TV and see commercials with weeds in the background, people that know. So they affect everybody.
If you were to wear weeds today that represent what you're fighting there in Western Montana, what would that be?
You know, in Western Montana, we've got a problem weed. It's on our EDRR, our early detection rapid response, and that's blue weed. It is rapidly spreading over here in the western side of the state, and it is it's a really bad plant. It's got a beautiful purplish blue flower, but it is absolutely devastating our landscapes where this plant's growing. So blue weed, I'll have to put that on Megan's radar to see if she can't get me a costume made up for it.
You would look marvelous, I tell you.
I would.
Yeah. Let's welcome Jasmine Chaffee as well, Montana Department of Agriculture, the state weed coordinator for the Noxious Weed Program as well, the EDRR program. This we're talking about an awful lot here today. Jasmine, what would be your weed to wear today?
Ooh, it's a very good question. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
I think my weed today, just for awareness, would be Palmer amaranth. That really gets to our farmers and ranchers, especially eastern Montana. That's not a noxious weed in Montana, but once it gets established, it'll be very difficult to get rid of. So it's one we want people to be aware of and look out for.
And thank you. Thank you for that. And thank you for being here, too. We're going to talk about this EDRR program. But we got a quick call, and this is what I want people to recognize here as well. If you got questions about weeds, this noxious weed program in the state of Montana is all about you asking those questions and coming over there, and we'll examine it. We'll look at it here, and here's how you treat it. Here's what you got to watch out for. So Bill is listening near Roundup, and he's got a question about some weeds. I hope they're weeds. There's 36 noxious weeds, but there might be some. They're all noxious. It seems like there's. Bill, welcome to Voices of Montana. What can the Montana Department of Ag do for you, sir?
Well, I don't know the scientific name for them, but I'm trying to get rid of some cockaburrs, and they seem pretty stubborn. Do you have any advice on how to get rid of them?
Megan, our cockaburrs.
I think I'm going to pass it to our weed coordinator, Kellyanne. Kellyanne, do you feel?
Yeah, so the weed that you're talking about is probably burdock. They have about, and let me know if I'm correct or not, about 3/4 of an inch to an inch round ball of little spikes that stick to everything. Does that sound like the weed that you're dealing with?
Yep.
Yep, okay. So that particular plant is fairly easy to control. Taking a shovel if you have a few plants. To it, getting the majority of that taproot that it has works well. Chemical will work very well on it as well, as long as you catch it when it is small. Once it sets those seeds, that plant is essentially dead. It's taking all of its energy and putting it into making the seed so it can make more plants. So you want to catch it before it goes to seed if you can. The seeds are viable in the soil for many, many years. We don't really know how many on that particular plant. So it's going to continue to come up, but you want to just try to get it under control as much as you can the first couple of years, and then constantly checking back in the location where it is or was to make sure you catch it as it's small. It has really big leaves on it. And an interesting fact about that plant is you can actually eat it. I don't really know who would want to, but that particular plant you can eat. So there's some fun, interesting facts about some of these weeds. And burdock, I'm sure, sir, is the plant that you're trying to deal with. So hopefully that helps with it.
I'm not going to try to eat any of those burrs, though, I'll tell you. Thanks for the info.
I don't blame you one bit.
That's pretty
smart.
Some
of the plants can get very big. I have seen some that you almost need a chainsaw to cut down. So imagine those seeds. They're spreading on our wildlife, our dogs, our pets, us. Most people, when they get these seeds stuck to them, they're picking them off and throwing them down on the ground. So making sure that you, a fun saying I like to do is, don't be a pick and flicker. Don't pick and flick these weed seeds off, because you're just planting another one. So good luck with that one.
Hey, Bill, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate that. 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483 on the text line. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll come on back. We'll talk about some of those best methods for early detection and rapid response, and then also identify some of these weeds that are a problem and how you get some help as well. You know, Bill, it is Montana's got a pretty good website about the Noxious Weeds Program. It's AGR for agriculture, agr.mt.gov, and then /noxious-weeds. And you'll see photos in there, and then you'll click on that, lot of information, because as you would say, Megan, it takes information to be educated about these things. So we're going to get to that in just a bit. There's something going on, though, I want to talk to you guys about before we get to this break here. And for the next 7 weeks, the Montana Department of Commerce is going to be giving away a weekly vacation package. That's right. For the next 7 weeks, you can win a weekly vacation package. And what's cool about it is that they're curated by each of the 7 different Montana travel regions. It showcases this unique culture in Montana, activities and history. You know, and they're different from Indian country to central Montana to Missouri River country to Glacier country as well. So the first week, this giveaway is regarding Indian country. There's 12 federally recognized tribes throughout the state of Montana, home to 8 tribal nations as well. And Montana's tribal citizens represent about 6.5% of the population. And Native American made in Montana products are also very popular and authentically created around the state. If you are interested in becoming more educated about Indian country, I highly encourage you to sign up for these giveaways with the Montana Department of Commerce and then do your visiting, right? It is visitmt.com/giveaway, and this is happening for the next 7 weeks. Thanks to the Department of Commerce for that as well. I think that'll be fun. We'll be talking about more about Indian country, but Missouri River country, as I mentioned, Yellowstone country, Southeast Montana, Glacier country. It's all upcoming here this summer, and I know you'll be visiting as well. Full-on discussion here this week at Montana Weed Awareness Week. And you know, again, 10% of our big sky country, this invasive species, early detection, rapid response is one of the themes here as we are talking with Megan Hoyer, Montana Department of Agriculture, the invasive species education coordinator. Also with the Ag Department is Jasmine Chaffee, online here, state weed coordinator and handles the EDRR responses. Kellyanne Fillingham, River Valley County Weed District coordinator. Good to have her back on. And now let's introduce and welcome Sarah Berger, weed coordinator in Fallon County. Sarah, how are you doing, ma'am?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. In case you didn't catch the first part of the program, you've probably seen Kellyanne wearing weeds. Well, we all are. Pardon me, Megan. And Kellyanne wants to wear a blue weed, but, the department has to appropriate funds for that. So if you were to wear a weed and to represent what you're battling there in eastern Montana, what weed would you be wearing, Sarah?
I think if I had to pick right now, I think I'd have to go with Hound's Tongue because we've seen a huge problem with it starting to pop up all over the county.
And how would you look in Hound's Tongue, by the way?
So I'd have great big leaves, a tall stem with really pretty purple flowers on it, and then lots of little seeds that are going to stick to, they're going to stick to anything that walks by it. And that's how we see it move a lot down here, especially during hunting season. It'll stick to dogs, livestock, anything that it can reach. It's kind of like Velcro.
Yes. and we all had experience with that as well. And sometimes we don't know what they are, but I think if there's anything attached to your clothes, it's probably something that you're carrying that doesn't necessarily need to be planted there. I want to have Kellyanne Fillingham address this one, Kellyanne, because, you know, there's a difference between noxious weeds and plants that don't belong, so to speak, as Megan had said, like dandelions. They're just out of the, you know, in the wrong place. What is that definition? Help us understand that.
Absolutely. So in Montana, when we're talking about noxious weeds, we're talking about weeds that the state has declared bad for us, for the environment, for our wildlife, for our landscapes. And they have felt that it's bad enough that we need to put them on a list and we need to control them. And actually, through state law, 7-22-2116 actually tells us that it's unlawful to permit noxious weeds to go to seed or propagate, and that people must take care of those particular weeds. We're pretty lucky in Montana. We've got 36 of those weeds on our state weed list. Idaho, I think they're in the 70s or 80s. Washington into the hundreds. California's into the hundreds of weeds on their weed list that need to be controlled. For us, we've got 36 that say we need to work on those. Each county has an opportunity as well to list a noxious weed. So something that's listed that says we need to control it. Particularly in my county, I have 5 additional weeds to the 36 weeds. But then you have weeds. All of us don't like weeds, whether it's gardening or in our fields. And some people consider dandelions a weed, and they can be. They can, if you want a green golf course lawn with no dandelion flowers in it, then you want to get rid of that. It's a plant growing out of place. And so, but dandelions you can eat. You can make wine with, soap with, dye for clothing materials. Some weeds you can do that with too. But Montana says that a noxious weed is something that is designated that we must try to control. So hopefully that helps answer that question.
Yeah, and again, folks, there's, again, good information at the Montana Department of Agriculture website on this as well. I'm going to hear from Jasmine Chaffee now about the early detection and rapid response. And Jasmine, as I hear those numbers, 36 in Montana, but 70 in Idaho, over 100 in Washington, and over that number in California, that's kind of probably a little bit discouraging, but also encouraging in the fact that Montana does have a rapid response. What is our early detection? What is rapid response in this battle against noxious weeds?
Yeah, so we're lucky in Montana. We do have a EDRR program, and we have a coordinator, Josh Wagner, who's dedicated to that program, and our coordinators who are working on those high priority weeds. So we don't work on all 36 in that program. We just work on probably the top, like, 10. We do have pages on our website. You can look at all those early detection weeds and learn more about them, see videos and everything. But we have task forces that work on those weeds in specific areas. We don't have a lot of them. They're just in specific places. Sometimes we're counting just number of plants in the whole state. And so we have task forces that work on those. They send out strike teams every week to look for weeds and take care of those. And so it's kind of separate from our general, like, a spotted knapweed or a leafy spurge. They're high priority, so we want to keep them either where they are or out completely of the state.
So are they going off of tips? Are there certain areas that they're surveying? And what's the rapid response? I mean, what aspect?
Yeah, so we know pretty much where all of these EDRR species are. So we keep very good maps of most of these. Like I said, we have strike teams that are employed by some of our counties that their whole job all summer is to work on one specific weed. So they go to those spots, they talk to landowners, they do get tips. We have some bounties. So if you find a new place with this one of these EDRR species, you could get $50 for a bounty in some counties. So that's our rapid response. We use a lot of maps. We use iNaturalist, EdMaps, the Heritage Program, all for reporting. And if something new comes up, then we send out a team to go look for those and take care of them if we find them.
How has, and again, Jasmine Chaffee, how has our state's response differed from Idaho or Washington, that maybe doesn't have quite the same response? They've got more weeds.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Like I said, we're pretty lucky because we have that program. So we have someone dedicated at the state level to coordinate with those counties and help give them resources. A lot of times Josh is out right alongside them looking for those weeds and managing them. He holds webinars twice a year for education about those species, and he also holds task force meetings. So all of the early detection task forces get together twice a year and talk about what they're doing, and we pull in our neighbors. So we pull in a lot of Idaho counties, we pull in Canada, so that they're on board with what we're doing too, so they can help, and we can help them.
Megan Hoyer, I'm going to have you kind of address that as well, but a text message has come in as well, and I got 2 minutes left here, 781-627-5483. I'll truncate this a little bit. Why has the state of Montana waited so long to take care of this problem? Spotted knapweed has been around for a long time, leafy spurge, as you mentioned, 50 years. And then there's a question here about, maybe there's some industries, trucking, railroad, that can spread those things, and I think there are partnerships in trying to solve this issue.
All right, Jasmine, I might come to you in a minute, but I think we've been at it as hard as we know. Like I said, we have learned the last 50 years the ultimate devastation that these plants can have. Jasmine was talking a little bit about our reporting features, the EdMaps, the iNaturalist, the Natural Heritage Program, being able to accumulate that data and better understand the problem. I think they've worked really, really hard. Montana's provided a noxious weed trust fund to provide funding for landowners and stuff to work on projects. We've got a noxious weed advisory council who works, like Jasmine said, with partners across the state. We attend regional meetings and workshops, and I think we're always continually learning. And I do think we're very lucky. I feel like, to tie in what Jasmine was saying with the Idaho and our border states, is we are acknowledging what these weeds are doing to those states. We are communicating with them. We are taking that information, and then we're putting it to these uses, because early detection and rapid response, that's what we're finding is working.
Yeah. We'll come back and talk more specifically about some weeds in western Montana, some weeds in eastern Montana, and how you can battle those things at home as well. There are simple measures, but there are at times when you want to have the state involved, because I think the outcome is just to eradicate these. And can they be eradicated? I mean, that's another question. I think we don't have to live with them. I mean, they're here, right? But we can still fight them. As a matter of fact, the early detection rapid response is one of the reasons I believe that Montana is kind of ahead of the game. Well, and as much as you can get ahead of the game when it comes to noxious weeds, we are talking about that here today in studios. Megan Hoyer, Montana Department of Agriculture, the Invasive Species Education Coordinator, dressed in leafy spurge here today. Jasmine Chaffee is with us, too, also from the Ag Department, State Weed Coordinator. Kellyanne Fillingham from Ravalli County, Weed District Coordinator there. And also on the eastern side of the state is Sarah Berger from Fallon County and a Weed Coordinator there. So, Sarah, thank you guys all for being here. Appreciate that. I've had some questions. The phone number, if you got a call, we had Bill from Roundup call in, and now he's going to go out and take care of his Verdoc. The cockaburs, he's not going to eat it, I don't think. Maybe a little butter and garlic. But so, Sarah, tell us what else. You'd be dressed in hound's tongue, so that's something you're battling. How are you battling that? How is everybody kind of coming together in eastern Montana battling that? And what else is on your agenda?
So communication's been huge for us with battling it. The landowners over here have gotten really good about letting me know where it is. If they have time, they go out. A lot of them will dig it up. And do everything they can to prevent it from going to seed. So as far as eastern Montana, I think communication's a key over here. There's a lot of land over here, and it doesn't feel like a whole lot of people sometimes when it comes to battling the weeds and keep mapping everything we've got. So as far as other weeds that we've been working on, kind of across the board, it's leafy spurge, Canada thistle, and knapweed. They're some of our big ones that we battle on a summer basis. So they don't seem to go anywhere, but we're doing what we can to keep them under control and to try and slowly eradicate them from the area. So we are on the big watch out for the Palmer amaranth. We don't have it yet, but 13 counties in North Dakota have it, and Baker itself is only 12 miles from the North Dakota border. So we do a lot of communication with North Dakota and with the state, trying to make sure that it's not here or we haven't found it yet.
As a matter of fact, Jasmine Chaffee is dressed in Palmer amaranth today. But I'm going to throw this one, though, to Kelly Ann Fillingham. What else are you guys looking at in the broad picture, you know, southwest Montana, northwest Montana, as well as where you're at in Valley County?
Yeah, Tom. So we're different in, like, what Sarah was just talking about, where they've got a lot of land and not as many people. Western Montana has a lot of people in little chunks of land. So we have a lot of more people to educate over here. And, you know, one of the questions that come through a minute ago was, why do we wait so long to get out and try to work on these? I think that we haven't waited. I've been part of the weed department for 24 years and been hardcore on weeds ever since. And I know many, many people prior to me have worked on weeds, but I think the weeds spread faster than we can keep up, which is why the EDRR program, early detection, rapid response, is so important. For western Montana, you know, you always hear about spotted knapweed. I think we're the capital of spotted knapweed over here in western Montana. And it's one of those weeds that just took off so fast that we can't keep up with it. But some of the other weeds that we're dealing with, obviously, is the blue weed. It has not made it to the eastern side of our state. Hopefully, Sarah will never have to deal with that plant over there. Rush skeleton weed up north, all the way up Libby area, clear down here to the Bitterroot. Leafy spurge is a big one. Ventinata of grass that actually has taken over areas we had cheatgrass. The blue weed, the orange hawkweed up by Flathead and all those areas. Some of these water weeds that we're dealing with, they are so many of them, and they are just spreading. And it's hard to convince folks sometimes that these are weeds, because every one of these plants have beautiful flowers. So it's hard to convince folks that they're bad. They're taking over our landscape. We have a lot of weeds over here in western Montana.
I'm going to throw this one to you, Megan, because, I mean, you would be shaking your head on this as the education coordinator. Hard to convince people at times, hard to educate them. What's that process like? How do we together battle these?
Right. I mean, I've had experience working in a weed district myself. I do know of all 36 noxious weeds, but it wasn't until this last year that I got this position that I had seen all of them. There's still a few weeds that I haven't seen. Some of the water weeds, Eurasian water milfoil, curly cut pond weed. So even being in this industry and being it professionally, there is so much to learn about different modes of actions. I've decided a more overall stewardship approach, like a land stewardship, is we know that these things move naturally on their own, but when they hitch a ride on our shoes, our trucks, our animals, our gear, we're spreading them super and further. So for the general audience, it's no longer just a farmer and rancher problem. It's never been just a farmer rancher problem. Weeds affect everybody. Consider removing animals, plants, mud from that, all that junk from your gear and your boots. If you're in the water, we practice clean, drain, dry. Make sure we're not spreading any little veligers that we can't see with their eyes hidden in the water. When you're out on the trails, stick to those trails, park in the parking lots. That way those mud and weed seeds aren't going further to the awesome Montana areas. When you're gardening and you're in town, choose non-invasive plants. Know what you're putting in the ground. Know what you're pulling. Know what you're moving around. This whole interaction with EdMaps and iNaturalist has been super cool. It's been giving ways for people to identify and
map. What are those, EdMaps?
Yeah, EdMaps and iNaturalist. They're apps that I use on my phone. They partnered with the state. They're identification apps, but what happens is when we see these invaders and they get reported to checkers, you know, all of those EDR species on Josh's program through the Department of Ag, when those species are reported, that's one way he gets the tidbit. So I like iNaturalist when I'm going out to a new area. I can scan a flower. I can see what it is. I can make the report. Some checker is going to make sure my identification was correct. Make sure if it's a noxious weed, it's going to go to the right. The information is going to go to the right place. And then if I'm continually monitoring like my own personal property, EdMaps is a great option. I think it's good for long-term surveying when you're going out to the same area over and over. Maybe if you are like a landowner or a farmer rancher who does have that, who is blessed with that more experience of noxious weeds, it's a really great way for you to keep track of what's on your property. And early detection, rapid response, a benefit, yes, it's more likely to get rid of things, but it's also cheaper and less labor. And when we put so much time and labor into these noxious weeds, it's great to see if what is what we're doing is working, so we're not spinning our heads.
Yes.
So I just think all of this stuff, becoming more aware, realizing you're a vector, and doing those small steps in your general life, you're going to be doing what you're going to be doing an awesome job.
Thank you for that. And Jasmine, I'm going to throw this to you as well, because you know, people, maybe they don't know. I think identifying the weed is a big part of this as well. But that other aspect, you know, eradicating them, what are those measures? They're probably a level, depending on how big the infestation is. But what are some of those basic measures that people can do at home? And then when is it time to really call the state in for you know, a bigger response?
Sure. You're right. It does depend on the size of the infestation and also what type of weed it is. Perennials are going to be a lot harder to treat just because they spread by those roots. So any disturbance really can get them going and they can establish pretty easy. Annuals may be a little bit easier. The seeds don't last as long in the soil, so you have an easier time to get rid of those over time. But yeah, it's just all going to depend and where you live. Eastern Montana, like you heard, doesn't have all of those EDR species that our western side does. So just a little bit different in management. But a lot of what Megan said is prevention. So using noxious weed-free materials, gravel, hay, mulch, all of those things if you can source them. Planting native species or species that are not going to turn invasive instead of some of those other ones.
Megan?
So those are two big things, yeah.
I'd just like to add that, yes.
When you recreate.
Yeah, I would just like to add that, yes, Department of Ag has got a great program. So like she said, the certified weed-free program, getting gravel that's been checked, you know, hay. But I think a really great local specialist, my favorite saying is, with new invaders on the rise, keep your weed district by your side. Each county's got a weed district. They're a resource. They'll help you with integrated weed management plan. They'll know your area. They're going to be super more familiar with these weeds, and they're going to have some management practices. Your MSU extension agent in your local county is a great resource, and they've got some options for identification and management, too, on a more local level.
Sarah Berger, talk about your resources there in Fallon County and then for Eastern Montana. You're the weed coordinator in that county, but you probably have to work pretty close with all the counties to really, you know, make this work.
Yeah, so I work really, really closely with Carter County and Weibo County just because they're all, we're just in the line right here, right next to North Dakota. But I have a really good working relationship with pretty much all the coordinators over here in eastern Montana. We lean on each other. If we have a problem, we can easily reach out and get a hold of somebody at one of the other offices. I also work very, very closely with our extension agent on a lot of the new stuff. He found one that we just recently added as a county listed weed that's coming in from North Dakota that we're trying to get a handle on right now. And so it's really just relationships over here. And when I first started 5 years ago as coordinator, I reached out to Western Montana coordinators that I've known, just for help. Everybody in this industry is more than willing to step in and help with any questions or problems that you have.
Yeah. And that cooperation is essential here too. Kellyanne, how's the resources in your area?
Boy, they are wonderful. We have got such a good group of people all the way up from the state there with Jasmine all the way down to our landowners and local groups from DNRC, NRCS, new landowner groups for people that come in and buy property. As you know, Western Montana is growing quickly. And so we have a lot of great programs. We've got a lot of granting programs that we offer our landowners, from in-county cost share programs to Department of Ag Trust Fund grants. They just help us a ton. You know, weeds don't know fence lines. They don't know when to stop. A weed's only job is to make more. And so the more people we can have educated about the treatment of these and we can help them, weeds are expensive to treat. Expensive. And it's not, they're never a one-time, one-and-done treatment. Mm. You have to stay on them. So if we let these infestations get out of hand, the more expensive they're going to be. And in some cases, millions of dollars are spent on one particular species. So lots of great resources over here. A lot of people that know about weeds. And just getting the word out is so important. So everybody can work on them.
Yeah, glad to hear there's so much cooperation in this as well. And I think that tells the importance of this mission here and the early detection and rapid response. I can see that being super, super valuable. One of the things to kind of finish up here on is how you individually can help as well. I mean, we've got weed coordinators in every state or every county across Montana and as well from the Montana Department of Agriculture. But it is a job for everybody, not just the noxious weeds, but the invasive species, the aquatic invasive species as well. And I think Montana is more than happy to pitch in. I'm going to throw one more question here, and we'll get some final thoughts from Megan Hoyer in just a bit. But Kellyanne Fillingham, and Kellyanne, it's good to chat with you again. I think you've been on the program. I've been here 6 years, and I think I've chatted with you every year over those past 6 years. So I know you're...
I love chatting with you guys, and thank you for what you do and understanding the importance of weeds, because you help us get that message out to all your viewers and listeners, and we really appreciate what you guys do as well.
Well, yes. Thank you. Make it simple for us. What are ways that I can control weeds?
Perfect. So first of all is figuring out what you have. Become educated about the weed. Know what you have, because every weed needs treated sometimes differently. So some weeds, like hound's tongue, can be hand-pulled. You can also use herbicide. You can keep it from going to seed. But then you have something like Canada thistle or leafy spurge. Hand pulling those plants do not work. More than you stress the top of the plant, you're putting that root system into overdrive. A plant's only job is to make more. So what we want to do is try to keep them from making more. You can use chemical if used correctly and you know how to use it. Some chemicals work for some plants. Some chemicals don't work on other plants. So again, education, knowing what you have. Revegetation, choke out these weeds. Don't let them take over. Choke them out with what is good, the good plants, our good native plants. Biocontrol, we have bugs that work on some weeds. They're a great tool, especially when you can't get to them easily. Biocontrol is never going to eradicate weeds, but it's definitely going to help us a bit. Burning, mowing, all of those things. I think the key is to know what weed you have. Become educated about what you have growing in your landscape.
Kellyanne.
And then working with your neighbor.
Great. Yep. Everybody's shaking their head. Yes. That's a great way to finish the program. Megan, want to say thanks?
Thanks, everybody, for coming in. Thanks to partnerships. I just got to say, when the weeds win, the land loses. So, everybody, thank you for doing your part in recognizing noxious weeds.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.